Welcome to Reaper Lecture 11 for Semester 1 of 2017. Today we are going to talk about sends, what they are, how they work, and how they can possibly affect your project. And Derek's going to take us through that journey.
Although I don't want it to be the Derek show if we can help it. That having been said, should you have any questions, do let me know, because it is important that you understand this concept. Should this be something that you want to use? That having been said, if you stop right now, you will have learned enough to pass the course and be able to meet the requirements for your final project. That having been said, the things that we're going to cover from here to the end of class are things which, well, among many other, though the others are more MIDI-based, are things that we have gotten access to that we have limited or no access to in other DAWs. That is to say, digital audio workstations. And these things include sends, as Jessica said today, as well as automation. But we'll get to that on Tuesday. Not Monday, because Monday is Memorial Day, but Tuesday. So from your experience in taking Audio Essentials, or from your experience having played with equipment like mixers and so on, does anyone want to explain sends as you perceive them and define them?
A send would be like an effect send or a monitor send or a send to another piece of gear.
Yep. Anyone want to elaborate on that one?
The virtue of a send is that if you enable the same send on multiple tracks, you can send a group of things somewhere else. This is how, among other things, you can send the same effect on multiple tracks to a bus or an independent mix if somebody likes more cowbell.
Oh, yeah, because everybody needs a little more cowbell. Absolutely.
Isn't a send like when you're running a soundboard, say in church, for instance? Wouldn't a send be going to the recording device of, if you're recording a, like an archive of, the praise and worship session or something like that?
It can. It absolutely can. Sends operate in a number of different ways. They are exactly as you guys describe, but they can work in multiple flavors in that you can pick at which stage the send is created, both in the case of regular hardware mixers and in the case of Reaper. So before we set up a send or demonstrate what kinds of things can be done with sends, let's review the sort of stages of your audio in a project. In other words, let's review kind of the parent-child structure that exists by default in Reaper when you have audio in a project. Let's say something as simple as a few tracks, no folders or any sort of routing setup. So when you hit play, what happens to the audio on all of those tracks? Where does it go?
Out to the master.
Through your master bus.
That's right. Now, if you have tracks in a folder, what happens with those? What's the sort of parent-child deal there?
The folder goes to the master.
That's right. The track goes to the folder, which goes to the master. Very awesome. Now, we haven't talked about this yet, and you won't really see the perk of this until probably Tuesday. But there are different ways to adjust the volume of certain things in Reaper. So you have two volumes per track that we can access once we're doing automation. We'll cover this, like I said, on Tuesday. You have the pre-effects volume, and then you have the track volume. So you can boost or cut audio before you go into your effect. And then, of course, you can turn the output of your track up and down after that point. So an advantage to that would be, let's say you're using an amp sim on a guitar. You could use the pre-effects volume as a drive to the amp sim to increase the distortion or what have you. You could use it to change the volume of audio that goes into a compressor, for example. Things like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Anyone not understand that? That there's a pre-effects volume, your effect or number of effects on your track, and then the track's output volume, which is what we're messing with Reconsole and with the track parameters dialog and with alt up and down arrow. Who is confused by that concept? If anyone, are you guys good?
I'm not confused. I just have a question, and so does Ben. Oh. Ben had his name in chat first.
Okay.
Now, my question, am I audible today?
You are.
Okay. My question was, we've currently been adjusting the track volume, but I don't remember any keystrokes for adjusting pre-effect volume.
You won't.
Yes?
There isn't. Once we do automation, you'll see how to do it.
Okay, it's under automation then.
Yeah. So, because that...
I'm excited about learning this automation stuff, because there's times in a band context when you want to boost the lead guitar or do things with the harmony vocals or whatever, you know.
Yep, it's beautiful stuff. It is something, I'm not sure how many other DAWs at this point will let you see it and change it with the degree of precision that Reaper will let you with Osara. Now, I know of no other.
So with the question I had was, when you were talking about the pre-effects volume and the other volume you mentioned, not the one that we're currently adjusting now, are those... steps that you follow, and is that what's covered in automation?
One of the things that's covered in automation. I don't want to make this too tangential, but when you are playing with automation, you are playing with things called envelopes. And an envelope is like a line of what are called envelope points. And with each point, it's a part of a change. So, for example, in the case of a volume, you can change the volume, just like Randy pointed out, at any point in your project. So not everything has to remain static. So you could do things like have your master track fade out. Like if you're doing a song and you want the song to kind of fade out, you could do something as simple as that. You could change the amount of reverb something has at certain points in your project by playing with its volume envelope. And volume pre-effects is an automatable parameter which you can mess with. And that is how we change it. There are ways to change it. If you're sighted, you can establish its initial volume, and you can sort of do that by putting an envelope point at the very beginning of your project with your pre-effects volume. But although that's a little bit cumbersome, at least should you ever need to do that, you can.
And you mentioned another volume. I forgot what that was called.
Just the track volume. It's what we've been messing with the whole time.
Oh. Okay, so it's just two volumes then.
Yeah. And we've never played with the track effects volume. The reason I'm pointing this out now is because you can change where the send exists. If it's pre-effect or post-effect or pre-fade or post-fade or whatever, blah. So, for example, we do a demonstration in Audio Essentials, as some of you may remember, where we have like a mock show and the show's playing, and we've done this before anyway, and you're cueing a person you're going to interview next. So you have a pre-fade send going to whatever communication method, which is bringing in the person to be interviewed. They have their pre-fade send, so you can talk to them without being heard on the show or what have you. Sends are used, as Randy also pointed out, for monitors too, so that the more me people can have more of them in their monitor. As Kevin pointed out, the more cowbell people can have a little more cowbell. And so on. So if I, and this is just a mixer function, bring up a send on the mixer, just to re-familiarize you with sends, and I slowly turn it up, what's going to happen is that the amount of reverb will increase. I am sending a very small amount of my voice into what? It's another term. On the other side of a send, you have a
return.
That's right. Reaper calls them receives, and I'm not sure why, but Reaper's sort of terminology for some things is a little bit strange. I'm not going to say, well, I am, that it's better to send than receive, but whatever. Anyway, so I'm sending just a teeny little bit of my voice to the send. Now, this send is post-fade. So, as I turn this down, there is a proportional fade in the level of audio that is sent to the reverb. So that's post-fade, okay? Now, if I make this pre-fade, what's going to happen is that when I turn the fader all the way down, is that clear?
Si, senor.
All right.
I thought you said everything changed proportionally. I would expect that would mean that your voice would fade down and the reverb would fade. Everything would move in the same degree.
Post-fade, see, if I turn this down, if I turn the volume of my microphone down, the same audio is being sent to the reverb proportionally. So the ratio stays the same between the dry and the wet signal of the reverb. But
both decline as the fade goes.
Right. But with pre-fade,
that's so cool.
So that's the difference in pre and post. So now, I've demonstrated, and that like I said, the pre-fade sends are useful, you know, for discrete feeds. So, like in church, I have pre-fade sends on the recorder from certain microphones so that I can pick up the choir and I can pick up the congregation and all this stuff without having to turn them up to the point of feeding back. I can bring them up substantially louder in the recording, or bring them up at all, you know, initially, without them going over any of the monitors or any the mains or any of that sort of thing. Because again, with this send, if I increase its volume, then I would obviously get more reverb fed into from the return. So let's do that just to prove a point. Pull up the send. Yep, see, more audio fed into the send. So now we have obviously a different ratio between the dry and the wet. And we can pull that out and no longer have reverb for now. Okay, so we've talked about all this cool stuff, and we've talked about how this all works. But let's talk about how to actually make some of this cool, fancy stuff happen in Reaper. And what I'm going to do, first of all, is create a track. Okay? And I'm going to put my voice on this track. All right. And I'm going to show you how all that works. So let's bring up Reaper, and I'm going to create a track, and I'm going to call it vocal, and I'm going to set my input with Reconsole. Who remembers what I would do in Reconsole to set my input to channel 2, for example, because that's where this mic is placed.
Space 2?
Close. You don't need the space.
I comma?
No, it's just I and then the number in question.
Yeah, in this case. Now, if I were...
Thank you, Derek. You fixed up my piano the other day for me. It was very helpful.
No problem. All right, so I2, and I'm going to arm this track and monitor it, except you're not going to hear it very loud because the way a lot of these multi-channel interfaces on these mixers work is that they are pre-fade. So the fader going to you guys is all the way up, but Reaper is just getting the volume from the output of the preamp. So you're not going to hear this monitor kick in until I boost the volume of this track by like something insane, like 20 dB. You hear it? Oh, yeah. So I've boosted this track 20 dB, and you finally actually hear me plus the monitor.
Forgive me, why was it that we wouldn't hear it initially?
Because the interface from this mixer records everything going into it pre-fade. So it's the output of the preamp into Reaper. The channel strip doesn't...
How do you know whether your interface records pre-fade or post-fade? For example, I have a Focusrite.
Yours is pre-fade because you change your trim, which is your preamp gain, but your mix that you would listen to, you could change. If I know how these Focusrites work, you can balance between what you hear from the computer and what you hear directly.
That would be in its control panel somewhere?
Yeah. So your trim is part of your...
50% when you, on the Focusrite control panels, the direct monitoring and what you hear from your computer, it's at 50%. So they're equal. And there's a preset on those Focusrites where you turn the direct monitoring off and just can hear the computer.
Hmm. You have a Focusrite?
I got two of them.
You and I should talk privately if you.
I want Jaluka to make me some scripts for it. I'm willing to pay him. And, you know, I know of a lot of blind people that use Focusrites, and so it would be a cool thing. I would share them with the community if I could just get them done.
I think he'd prefer each person buy their own copy, but you might want to talk to him about the specifics. So I can demonstrate that this is pre-fade by putting that back on, and then I can slowly... I don't know if the delay is so small that it would actually be obvious, but if I turn the main feed down, slowly, now you just hear Reaper, and that is what you hear now. I can prove that this is a different stage because there's no processing on this microphone, so... with this track boosted. If I talk very loudly, it's going to clip because there's nothing keeping it from clipping, you see? Because with the track that high in volume and with me talking very loudly, we're going to have that. So if I put this back and then I turn the monitor off and I talk very loudly, we have processing on that one. But Reaper is getting pre-fade, pre-effect.
Reaper's getting pre-fade, pre-effect from your board is what you're telling her.
Right. And from the majority of interfaces, that's what Reaper is going to get. So Jessica's Motu, for example, has the ability for her to get pre-fade. In fact, that's its default tendency. But she can pull from the mix and record the mix return. Now, of course, I could do that trick as well. But who could guess what would happen if I did? Because it'd be the same thing that would happen if she did.
You have a feedback loop?
I sure would. Because if I record from the same thing that's playing... and it picks itself up recording because it's recording the same thing and it plays and it records and it blah, then absolutely I'll get a feedback loop. And if I do this very carefully, so you got to be careful where you're pulling from. See, that's post fade, post everything, but it's the same thing you're hearing. So when I do that, then obviously it's going to, that. You see? But let's set us up a send. So what I'm going to do is put this track back to the microphone, and it's boosted by 20 dB. And I'm going to make a track called send. So now I have two tracks. I have an armed track at plus 20 dB to get the microphone up to close to zero. And I have a send track that is not armed. Nothing's on it. It's not monitored. Anything. There are a bunch of ways to get sends going, and each has its advantage. If I select track one, which is my vocal, and I press I, I get a dialog that says routing for track one, vocal in this case, and there's a bunch of options in here. The first is an edit field in which you can type your volume. It has plus 20.00. Pan.
That's your track volume.
Correct. Tab, the next thing is pan, and that's center, and you can put in, just like in Reconsole, negative or positive value. So minus 100 would pan it to the left, and plus 100 would pan it to the right. Track width is 100%, And so let's say you have a recording where things are a little bit too wide and you want to kind of narrow it down a little bit. You can put the track width to a smaller percentage and it collapses the stereo image. Or if you want to reverse the channels, so let's say what came in on the left is something you'd rather have on the right, you could put in a negative value. So as opposed to 100%, you could put in negative 100% and you flip the channels around. Track channels, two. You can have up to 64 channels on a track. So for surround information or for side chaining, which will be something that is in the podcast feed and is a non-compulsory listen, though something you may find interesting, then you'll be playing with the number of channels on your, or at least on one of your tracks.
The side-chaining thing isn't there yet, because I think I looked for it.
Nope, it's coming. We don't want to put things out of order and make you deal with things you haven't learned yet. Giving you side-chaining before teaching you sends would be a bit much. Now, we're going through some redundant controls, because after the track channels, we go to a series of faders that do volume, pan, and width. So you can move those with your arrow keys or your page up and page down if you don't want to type a value, and you'll see those change. With NVDA, they report accurately. With JAWS, I think they give you some numbers, but I don't think they correlate accurately to what's going on. I mean, you hear the results and the numbers change, but this does report better with NVDA. Now, here's the fun part. Sends, combo box, add new send. You can arrow down through the tracks. There's only one of them in this case. And you can pick your track to send your audio to. Now, that having been said, Reaper by default keeps you from sending tracks to themselves and creating a feedback loop. You can turn off that protection, but I would not recommend it because it's very loud and very painful and very bad very quickly. Another thing you want to note about this control is unless you press Alt down arrow to open the combo box, which is like a screen reading function with JAWS and NVDA, when you select a track and you stay on that selection for a couple of seconds, it will establish that send. If you accidentally do this, you can delete it with no problems, but it's something worth noting. So it's going to get a bit loud. I mean, you're not going to hear it so much louder because of limiting and stuff. But if I press the down arrow key, I'm going to hear track two send. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm going to notice my monitor got substantially louder because now there's two instances of this microphone going into Reaper. There's the track that's plus 20 dB feeding into a track that is 0 dB because it is a post fade send by default. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it answers a question I was just about to ask.
Okay, anybody confused? Because it's very important that each step of the way is understood because it builds onto itself.
Could you just repeat one more time? I think I got lost somewhere.
So I pressed I. I went into a routing dialog and I tabbed through several controls until I heard sends combo box. And I pressed down arrow and I heard track two send because I have two tracks in my project, one vocal to send. I touched nothing for a couple seconds. And as a result of not touching anything, that automatically established, that instantiated the existence of that send. Visually, according to several sources, it looks like you create a patch point from one track and you're sort of plugging its output into another.
So that is your send, the track you named called send. And your first
right.
track is it, called vocal, right?
Right. Vocal is sending to send.
Shouldn't send be
You haven't
receive.
Taken it off its parent yet, right? Like, I was just making sure because I
No, I haven't
I
taken it off its parent because I want to prove the point.
I was just making sure I wasn't getting ahead of myself.
And Ben is definitely paying attention because he made a valid point that technically should be called receive because track two is receiving audio from track one. How do we see tracks with receives? How do we see that? How do we know a track has a receive? Well, let's arm this again just to have it. If I press down arrow to go to track two. So I've pressed escape to go out of this routing dialog for track one. I'm going to press the down arrow key to go to track two. I press I again. When I tab several times into this, I hear sends combo box, add new send. There's nothing there. But if I keep tabbing, I hear audio hardware outputs, combo box, add new hardware output. So if you have multiple outputs on your interface, you can take tracks or folders, because a folder is a track, and you can send them to other outputs in addition to your parent track, you know, your master track or what have you. MIDI hardware output, we're not going to touch that because that's irrelevant in this case. It doesn't apply. Send to original channels. You can establish some funky, cool routing that does some wild stuff that we're not going to get into. Receives combo box, add new receive. But if we keep tabbing, we hear receive from track one vocal, delete button. We can delete that receive, and that therefore deletes the send because the receive is gone. Therefore, the send is gone. That path is no longer established.
So does that show... When you see that receive button with the delete, does that means that it was added to the other, right?
Right. To create a send from track one to track two creates a receive from track two, which pulls from track one. Because it's better to send than receive or something? I don't know why Reaper doesn't call them returns, because everything else does. But, you know, that's what it does. So now, what does that mean? That means that we can add an effect to track two. So let's add Omniverb. I'm adding Omniverb because it's just wet reverb by default. It doesn't have another copy of the dry signal in it. There we go. I'm going to mute the direct feed. Now, we have two tracks. We have... Ascend, which is the dry track. And we have the receive, which is the wet reverb. So if I mute track two, no more reverb. Gone. If I unmute track two, reverb comes back with a vengeance or something. If I solo track two, wet signal only. Okay. Does that make sense?
Dry signal on track track two, which just has a reverb effect on it, right?
Right.
But now, the reverb effect was on the send, though. It wasn't on, like, you...
It was, okay.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I get what she's... So, the reverb is on the send track, okay? Let's start with
the receive. I should make track two called receive because, as Ben pointed out, that's technically what is occurring.
It is on.
So we're just going to rename.
It is on the track that is currently getting stuff sent to it. So it's receiving everything from the other track, which is the vocal track. So that's why there's reverb coming through if he leaves that track soloed. And it's just that reverb is because that track is being, the audio signal of that track is being sent to the reverb track. So that's technically a receive. It's receiving signal from the other track. Does that make sense?
It has no dry content, so that's all you've got.
That's right. Now, Randy asked the question, what's the advantage to that? Why not just put Omniverb on the track and balance the dry and the wet to your liking as opposed to...
Umi.
Go for it.
You can send several things to that same reverb. So if you have several singers or a whole band or, you know, several drum tracks, then you don't have to put an effect on each of those tracks. You can send them all and then control how much you're sending into that reverb, so it all sounds like they're in the same space.
You can do that with folders, though, too. That's what I wanted to finish my question. What's the advantage of doing that instead of using a folder?
Because you can have one reverb, and especially in the case with convolution reverb, where you're using a lot of processing power to get some pretty cool reverb and things. You can use one instance of a plugin, whereas if you put it on a folder, everything goes into it. With the same mix, you can decide that certain things are going to the reverb at a higher volume. Because if you mm-hmm. keep also exploring in that iDialogue, you see that the send volume exists. If you keep tabbing, you'll see there's a send volume edit and a fader for the send. So you could use one reverb and you could have backup singers louder in that reverb than it would be in the lead. So the lead sounds closer and the backup singers are farther away. In addition, you can send two things that aren't in the same folder, for example, to one effect. So you could do something with music like, say, send a kick drum and a bass to the same compressor to tighten up the low end. Bear in mind, you have to take both the kick drum and the bass off of the parent send because they double in volume otherwise. But if you keep that in mind, you can then have all of your drum mixing happening for organization, but then you could process the kick drum and the bass together to tighten up the low end. Does that make sense?
I have another thought.
I think so.
Tell me if this is right, Derek. You can also control the overall level of that send. So if you have several things going to the same reverb, and you want less of that reverb overall, you can just bring the volume down on that reverb or bring it up or whatever.
That's right, because it's on a track. So if I do this, turn that down, there we go. And I have two tracks, and one's at plus 20 and one's at zero. If I just turn track number two down, I don't have to go into the effects parameters or anything like that. And I've essentially decreased the reverb overall. And if I bring track two up, then I'm having a lot more reverb. Right?
Is that the track output volume manipulator?
Yes. Yes. Now, the reason I'm adjusting it so quickly is because I'm cheating and I'm using the control
He's
surface
using
functionality.
A fader.
Yeah, so it's linked to a physical fader. So I can just, you know, that kind of thing. Because I'm just trying to save time so we can get through the material quicker. And I just figured.
What is the equivalent of a bus in Reaper?
That's a folder.
I would say a folder.
That's a folder. So a bus is like a subgroup or a submix of something. But you can send off your submix. So that's what I would say is a folder is equivalent to a bus.
Now, remember, we talked briefly about the hardware outputs as I was exploring the portion of the dialogue that's brought up with the I key, the track routing dialogue. There is a couple of projects that Jessica did when she's been over here where she's stacked a great many vocals. And it was kind of annoying to try to mix that in real time, and it was substantially easier to put all the vocal tracks in a folder as she was recording them, and then go to the folder track, the start of the folder, press I, say hardware output combo box, change it to 3 and 4, in my case, because that's another set of faders. And I took the vocals off the parent track while we were tracking this. Then I had a set of faders to control the music, and I had a set of faders to control the overall volume of the vocal mix. This also has practical applications if you have, for example, a click track and you want to give the click track to the drummer, but the vocalist doesn't care about hearing in their ears all the time. How's my internal metronome?
Oh,
do you like that?
Drummers do it.
That was very, very, very good.
That was good.
Imitation.
Yeah, it's also really useful because you can have your instruments or whatever from a vocalist standpoint turned up in the vocalist's headphones, but maybe not necessarily everything else louder in the drummer or, you know, in other people's headphones. Or if a vocalist wants to hear, a lot of times vocalists feel comfortable singing to themselves, hearing reverb. It may not necessarily be the reverb that you're going to use in the end of things, but just they feel sort of comfortable hearing themselves sort of through a reverb. So you can have that reverb sent to just them and they hear it themselves, but you don't.
So in your dialogue box, you showed that it talked about hardware stuff. For me, since I don't have a mixer, I'll probably see different stuff and I can still do the same things you're doing to an extent, right?
To an extent. You may never care about this. Like I said, we're getting to some pretty advanced stuff.
If, no, I know. I just wanted to ask for what.
Absolutely, and I appreciate it. It's very awesome that you did.
You can still send other tracks to each other. So you could still send track one to track two like he did.
Right.
And not deal with the hardware output of it at all.
That's what I thought so, but I thought I'd ask just to make sure.
So let's change the send type in Reaper, because you can do that too. Now, the problem is you can explore the screen with your screen reader of choice, and there's a place on the screen you can click to change various aspects of the send. But I will confess to being a lover of the applications key, because a year and some change ago, Jamie added a feature where there's a context menu that lets you adjust all the aspects of a send. So what I'm going to do is arm my track mix dealy here with the reverb and the me combo. Okay. Now I'm going to go to the vocal track, although you could do this with the receive track. It doesn't matter in this case. And I'm going to tab through this dialog until I hear send to track two, receive. Receive being the name of the track now. So send to track two, receive. Delete button. Now, if I press space on that delete button, it doesn't delete the send. It actually would, if there were any content in this project, start playing it. So what you actually have to do is perform the default action on that button. With NVDA, if you have a keyboard with a numpad on it, that's insert, enter. You can also route the mouse to that point and click with NVDA or JAWS. Does shift space work? Yes, it does. That works as well. So that just deleted that send. So we're going to undo that and bring it back. But the reason I'm emphasizing the delete button is, well, two reasons. One, as I said earlier, you may accidentally create a send where you don't mean to, and of course you can just delete it. But also because you can press the applications key on the delete button for the send, and you get a context menu with several options dealing with the send. MIDI volume / pan, envelopes and automation, mute, phase / polarity, mono. We'll talk about how cool it can be to send a mono feed of something somewhere, because right now it's a stereo feed. Destination channel 1/2, source MIDI channel all. Some of this stuff we'll get to Tuesday. Well, actually, we won't. That'll be covered in the sidechain study group deal that's going to be in the podcast feed as well. Destination MIDI channel all. Source audio channel 1/2, again, routing and things. Ah, send type, post fader, post pan. If we press enter on this, we're going to drop into a menu that's going to give us several send types. They are post fader, post pan, which is the default send type that's established, pre fader, post effects. That's what I demonstrated with the mixer earlier. Pre-effects, we'll talk about that one and how cool that can be as well. And then we're back to post-fader, post-pan. So if I do pre-fader, post-effects, what that did was drop my reverb substantially lower in volume. Who remembers or can guess why my reverb just dropped in volume substantially?
You have your fader cranked up to 20 dB, and your level in from your board is a lot lower than that. So it's going, you're now getting the signal before your 20 dB boost.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Now, I could compensate for that by turning up track two, or from this dialogue, turning up the send volume, or by picking a different type of send. I'm going to do that very thing. I'm going to change the send type back to post fader, post pan by again tabbing to the send track to receive delete button, pressing the applications key on that, and going down to the send type and changing it to post fader, post pan. Cool. Now we've got our reverb back at the ratio we originally had it in. So let us change the reverb that I'm using. Now I could press F and delete OmniVerb and then press A and then add another effect, or what key could I press to simply replace OmniVerb with another effect? That's right. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Replace effects number one, receive in track two. I'm going to look up reverb, R-E-A-V-E-R-B. I'm just going to type R-E-A-V. Reverb is, among many other things, a convolution reverb plugin. You can get impulse responses, which are a collection of samples that are created through any number of processes, which will allow you to take a snapshot of an environment. So if there's a particularly cool space that you want to emulate, you can create, if you use the right equipment, you can create a simulation of that environment. If there's like a cool amp cab you like, you can mic it up and use the deconvolution process to create an emulation of that. And I've done several of these things through the last couple years. There is a tutorial in the free stuff section of the Cavi Audio website, which has a tutorial on how to create these impulse responses. I did one where I emulated my iPhone speaker.
There also, I believe, is a module part in the Advanced Reaper course for those of you who managed to do your final projects. I believe Justin talks about convolutions and fun stuff you can do with them.
So I'm going to load an impulse response I created of my living room. I'm going to do that is to load the reverb plugin. Now, what happened there is my OmniVerb went away and I have another copy of the dry signal. There's a balance in reverb between the dry and the wet signal, which makes it pretty cool when you're inserting it on a track, but not as convenient when you're using it on a send. But you'll see why here in a minute, why using reverb on a send in general might actually be something you prefer. So what I'm going to do is tab to the dry slider, and I'm just going to hold down the down arrow key until it's at inf. Because the way I'm doing this is not through P. I'm actually using the native interface of the plugin. It happens to be accessible. I'm going to leave the wet slider to minus 12. That's fine because it's actually quite a loud impulse. There's a list view in the plugin, and that's a list of things that you're having reverb do. If you tab past that list view, you'll see an add button. If you press the space bar on it, again, that will start your project playing. Shift space, however, does work in pressing the add button. There's several things you can add in reverb. The first is an echo generator, but what you want is the second option if you're using impulses, and that is file. And I'm going to browse to my living room impulse.
You mentioned having an impulse of your living room, and my wife used to live with her parents at a house in Corona. Well, that isn't why that's important. But the important thing is that they had this huge living room. It was like a two-story living room because it went up into kind of a balcony area. And it had this cool echo, and I always wish that I could have recorded in there. And it would have been so cool to get an impulse, but they no longer own the house. So there you have it.
Fair enough. I'm also going to check the ZL checkbox, which stands for zero latency, because the default behavior of reverb is to put a fair bit of buffering there. And that is a bit of latency that I'm not liking very much. So I'm going to check this checkbox. And that still didn't do it. And if you run into that situation where even though you check the ZL, which is zero latency checkbox, and you still have the big latency if you cut your reverb to the clipboard and you paste it back on your track, then you get your impulse and you get very little latency. Well, actually none at all in this case. So now I have my two tracks with my microphone and with the ambience of my living room on it on track two. And so if I turn that up a bit, that is a little exaggerated from the way the room sounds, but it's otherwise pretty accurate. Hey, so, Derek. Yes.
Other than spaces like living rooms or concert halls or two-story entrances in homes, can you use reverb to add the impulse files to add other characteristics to things? Like, didn't we do a water one at one time that made everything sound watery?
I loaded a toilet as an impulse response, and I talked through a toilet flushing, and that did some pretty weird stuff.
What does that sound like?
I'll show you later, maybe after class.
Your voice gets recoded into toilet flushing.
It does some pretty cool echoey things. I'll show you that later. I don't want to get too tangential off the subject of sends right now. So remind me after class, and I'll put myself through a toilet impulse, which, you know, any WAV file can be loaded as an impulse, or even FLAC file, because Reaper's just crazy that way. So that's my living room. Now, reverb, like most convolution plugins, runs dual mono. Dual mono means that the left and the right are processed separately. So what we're going to do is I'm going to load up a little story that I prepared. And it is simply called The Story of Me, Myself, and I. Now listen to what happens when I play this and tell me if this sounds realistic, if it sounds the way, well, it should in life.
As for me, the left channel is the place to be. As for myself, I'm in the center and not on a shelf. And I'm on the right, both in the morning and at night. And thus the story of me, myself, and I.
Okay, did that sound realistic? Did that sound the way the three of me would sound if we were in a room together?
To me, you did.
Yeah, I heard stereo, and I would say that no, that's not the way you would sound, because if we were in a room together, and you were on my right, I would hear part of the sound coming from my left as well, as it bounced off walls and that kind of thing. So, I hear you on the left, and it really sounded as realistic as if we were sitting in the same room.
What I meant was, I heard, like, when you were talking on the left, I heard you on the left. When you were talking, when the eye was talking, I heard you on the right. That's what I meant.
And I did that by doing what to those tracks?
You panned them.
That's right. Very awesome. Good times. All right. So let's listen to this again, just in review, just to sort of, you know, drive the point home.
As for me, the left channel is the place to be. As for myself, I'm in the center and not on a shelf. And I'm on the right, both in the morning and at night. And thus the story of me, myself, and I.
All right, now, what I'm going to do is go to the track one here, and I'm going to tab into this here. And what am I looking for to change all my synth parameters?
Your effects.
Center.
Pre-fade or post-fade?
I'm looking for a context menu that has a lot of stuff in it. What do I press to get to that context menu? Whoever's using speakers, if you could get headphones, please, that'd be great. So what did you say, Kevin? I'm sorry.
Applications.
That's right. The applications key on the what?
Send type.
Where do I find what delete, button
right?
do I? On the delete button.
The delete.
That's right.
Yeah.
Send to track two, delete button. I press the applications key on that. And I want to make this send mono, because I want to send a mono copy of that little cheesy story to Reverb, because it is a dual mono plugin with each side being processed separately. So now when I hit play,
as for me, the left channel is the place to be. As for myself, I'm in the center and not on a shelf. And I'm on the right, both in the morning and at night. And thus the story of me, myself, and I.
Would you say that's more realistic?
For sure.
Yes, but I don't understand how sending that in mono did that.
Reverb is what's known as a dual mono processor. So each side, each channel that you send it, is processed on its own. So even if you have a stereo impulse response, as this one is, if you just put something on the left channel of the audio going into Reverb, the left channel is the only thing that's going to have any audio sent to its processing. And so you're just going to hear the effect that your echo generator or your impulse response or whatever is providing on that specific channel. Thus, dual mono. The left and the right are their own sort of individual things. They got their own thing going on. They don't sum. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So even though the file that you're sending to it, or the track that you're sending to it, is stereo, unless you send it in mono, it will not actually echo around the room. But if you send that stereo file, if you tell it send in mono, then for some reason it actually does work in stereo. I guess the idea of sending in mono just confuses me, because I think of mono as straight down the center. So
how sending a mono feed results in generating stereo ambience. That's kind of a brain twist, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because remember, it's dual mono. So each channel doesn't care about the other. They're their own separate thing. So
I do understand that about Reverb. I do understand that. But what I'm getting my head around is that you are on your little story, because your little story is recorded in stereo.
Mm-hmm.
You have parts that are panned, and so you have a little stereo. So you're sending that stereo recording. You are telling Reaper, okay, send that in mono. So I would have imagined that you would have lost the stereo effect of that stereo recorded track by sending it in mono. I would have thought you would have lost the stereo quality of it.
I did lose the stereo quality of it in terms of the placement of the audio. However, I gained a stereo quality because the impulse is stereo. It likes receiving a mono signal, and then it makes it sound stereo because I captured the ambience of my living room in stereo. So if we actually solo this, you'll hear ambience.
As for me, the left channel is the place to be. As for myself, I'm in the center and not on a shelf. And I'm on the right, both in the morning and at night. And thus the story of me, myself, and I.
Right, that's just the wet impulse. No dry signal there. Just the wet signal.
Now I understand. So, right. Sorry, I'm kind of monopolizing. But now I understand, because you have to have both signals coming up through the master. You have to have your dry track and the wet track to be able to really get the sound of the stereo and the sound of the stereo effect. I get it.
Cool. Now, what if I told you that there were more convenient ways to add sends than tabbing through the iDialog? The reason I introduced you to the dialog with the iKey, with the track routing, is to show you the hardware outputs and the fact you can delete sends in there and change their types and all that stuff, and change their volumes and so on. But what if I told you there were easier ways to do that? Would that make you a happy person?
It would make me a very happy person. And I'm particularly even happier if you're going to go and play with Rio Console again.
Unfortunately, no, that isn't in the cards today. But if you press, well, actually, who remembers the Osara/Reaper command to get to the track parameters dialog?
Shift P?
Close.
Control
Shift P. Control Shift P is correct. Shift P is what?
It's for the master, no?
What for the master?
No, it's for the ripple.
That's alt.
Oh, shift P is master effect track. Control.
Yeah.
Yes, the master effects. Yes. You guys are so awesome. You guys are doing so well in this, and that makes me very happy and feel very gratified by that. I really do. Because this is a very hard concept to grasp, because there's a lot that can be done with it, but to sort of keep track of where things are is a very complicated thing. So if I press Alt Applications, I get a context menu. Because Applications gives you a different context menu, and Control Applications gives you another, and Alt Applications gives you this one, which has the following options. Master Send, checked. So if I uncheck it, it's gone from the parent track. Sends submenu, I go under there. Adjust I/O parameters, right-click on volume fader. That takes you into a variant of the dialogue that you see with I, and you can adjust things through that particular portion of Reaper's native interface. Track 2, receive, checked. If I want that send to go away, I don't have to tab to the delete button in the track routing dialog. I can just simply uncheck it. Now, if I press the left arrow to get out of the send submenu, there's receive submenu, audio hardware output submenu, audio reroute output submenu, don't worry about it, MIDI output, and we're back to the master send. So that is a cool way to make sends. Yes, you can make sends in this. I'm going to create track 3, and I'm going to call it Copy of Living Room. And I want to show you that with Alt Applications, you can create sends as well as alter them. So if I press Alt Applications and I do sends, adjust I/O parameters, track 1, vocal, track 3, copy of living room. Those are the two tracks where track 2 can go, right? Except it won't let you do track 1 because you'll have a feedback loop. But that is a, in my opinion, much quicker way of establishing a send and a receive and hardware outputs and so on. Does it let you change the send type and all that stuff there? No, it does not. But if you're working with post-fade, post-pan sends all the time and you don't care about any of the other stuff, then I've just made your life simpler by introducing the Alt Applications key menu. Now, what about send volumes? Well, with track parameters, with Control-Shift-P, you have volume. This is on track 1 with the that's got the send on it. You have volume, in my case, pan, mute, receive send volume, receive send pan, receive send mute. So you can go in and you can adjust volumes, pans, and mutes of the submix that you create with your send from your track parameters dialog in Osara. Do I need to go over any of that again? Or did I just make everybody's life beautiful and a lot less complicated?
So if I wanted to patch an outboard reverb, I could do it by using that external output submenu, correct?
Yeah, hardware outputs, if you have them on an interface, you can totally do that. So I have a VoiceWorks Plus, and it does some crazy vocal stuff that nothing in software does that I know of. It does some crazy vocal modeling stuff, and I can integrate that into a Reaper project by sending vocals to a hardware output to which it is connected, and then record the result on another track by selecting the inputs to which it is connected and making the recording, and then using it in my project. So that is how you can integrate hardware effects into your software DAW. It's pretty neat.
Guess I am going to get some use out of this old effects box I've got sitting over here after all.
Well, there you go. Now, here's another cool use of sends. You can do a thing called parallel processing. So let's say you have two effects and you're like, well, I like aspects of this reverb for this, but it'd be nice if I could sort of have elements of this other reverb and kind of mix between the two. You could have copies of a track that have different plugins on them, different reverbs, through sends. So you can have multiple effects of different types going on. I know people that like what certain compressors do to parts of their audio, but they want the characteristic of what another compressor does. They don't want to feed one compressed signal into another. They'd rather have both sort of interacting. That kind of thing can be done, and that sort of thing is done in various tracking and mixing and mastering situations all the time. I'm about to show you a pretty cool application where this can be useful. This application is taking drum ambience that either exists as a result of a synthetic reverb being added or as a result of, say, room mics being used as part of the tracking of the kit, and then exaggerating that ambience without the sacrifice of dynamics. So you want to see that done?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to bring up a new project and load a file that has drums in it. There we go. Now, if Brownie points to whoever can tell me the song as soon as I get to the beginning of it and trim this off.
My ninjas?
No, I wouldn't be that biased. Yo, yo, okay.
Owner
Control.
Of the Lonely Heart.
Yes.
No. Yeah, I was going to say yes, but I'm a fan, so I'm a fan. So
double meaning there and me saying yes in that you're correct about the song and, of course, the group. Very nice. Awesome. Cool.
Oh,
yay.
To be fair to the other person, I am an absolute dyed-in-the-wool diehard fan. There's no way I would have missed that.
Now, this is a synthetic reverb delay combo thing they added. But like I said, this can be useful in terms of room mic ambience exaggeration kind of things. All right. So let's create a track, and I'm going to call it just ambience exaggerated. Now, what I want to do is create my send, and I'm going to do that through the means of using the Alt Applications key. And I'm going to say send submenu, and I'm going to arrow to track 2, ambience exaggerated. Now, I need to actually go into the track routing dialog because I want to change the send type. I want to change it to pre-fade, pre-effect. So I want whatever I do to track 1 having absolutely no impact on track 2. So I can process each of these separately. So we're going to press what to do that. The what on the what button to bring up the context menu to do all this cool send changey fancy stuff.
Alt applications key?
From the track routing dialog.
Applications key on the send delete button.
Yes. All right. And I'm going to arrow down to send type in here, send type post fader post pan. And I'm going to change it to pre effects, which is also pre fade. So that's pre everything, pretty much. I am not going to press play because these drums are very loud and we're going to have 2 copies of them right now. So I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do, however, is solo track 2, which is my exaggerated ambience track. Now, the first thing I want to do to it is add the HPLP effect. It's a very quick and dirty RBJ, high pass, low pass, whatever. So if you type HP and you shift tab in your add effects dialog, it's going to be the last thing added. You don't have to use this filter. I just find it particularly quick. It's a little bit imprecise, but for this, it's perfectly fine. I'm going to change the HP, which is the high pass, so low cut, and I'm going to move that up to about 400 hertz. Because I don't want to exaggerate the kick drum. So I want to get most of the bass of the kick drum out there. Now, another thing I want to do, because obviously if I combine these 2 tracks, all I'm going to do is boost the mids and the highs. What I'm going to do now is add a recomp, which is Reaper's built-in single band compressor. I'm going to go into its parameters. I'm going to, out of order of the way they appear, change the attack to 0 milliseconds, the release to about 50 milliseconds. I'm going to change the RMS size to 0 because I don't need it averaging. I need it just following peak. I don't Actually, though, that's a nice function. I need it disabled, so RMS of 0. And auto makeup to 1, so that the more I squish, the more this is going to come up automatically. We're going to change the threshold to something insanely low, like minus 20. And the ratio to something insanely squishy, like 16 to 1. All right, now, you would agree, well, especially at that part, but you would agree that that's pretty exaggerated ambience, wouldn't you?
Yeah, don't do that at home, kids.
Yeah.
Now, we have that as a separate entity. If we unsolo it, let me pull this track all the way down, actually. I'm going to unsolo everything. Now, if I, let's see, turn this up so you can hear the mix overall. There we go. And I bring up track 2. There's still the dynamics of the original performance, but there's exaggerated ambience there. You hear it?
That's how Phil Collins got his drum sound, using the bus compressor and the board.
He sure did. Now, what if you're kind of annoyed because, well, that's great, the ambience is exaggerated, but I just made the drums a lot brighter as a result. What if that's kind of something you don't want? Well, guess what we can do? We can mute track 2, and the reason we mute track 2 or turn it down is because if you solo track 1, anything that's sent off to a track is going to play, so that if you got, you know, effects going, you don't lose those. So I need to mute track 2, not solo track 1. What I'm actually going to do is just put an EQ on the drums, and I'm going to just put a re-EQ on there, and sort of that upper mid-range peak that the exaggeration of the ambience created, I'm going to just kill. Now, we don't expect you to do this kind of thing. You may never need to do this kind of thing. The point is, it's doable, and the point is, we want you to know how, should you care. So, thus the demos. All right. So, we're gonna, let's see. Around there is kind of where it's exaggerated. So we're going to kind of pull that down a little bit. And now when we put in our ambience exaggeration, we've exaggerated the ambience, and the drum equalization hasn't changed substantial or as much as it would have otherwise. And if you aren't a fan of the highs, of course, you could go on to track 1 and, you know, put a high shelf on it and turn the highs down. And that's about got it. Now, if I had not changed that send type to pre-effect, pre-everything, basically, what would have happened there is when I added the EQ to track 1, that would have changed what went into track 2. But because the send on track 1 is pre-everything, there was no change made to what track 2 was receiving. So we have one audio clip that has two separate effects chains on it that converge to create a sound that one by itself would not be able to do otherwise. Thus, the power of sends, demonstrated in many ways today.
Hey, Derek, question on volumes.
Mm-hmm.
When the track that you're sending from, when you send it pre-everything, let's say that track was recorded at a very low level and you boosted the track volume to get it up to something you could hear. It's my understanding that with pre-everything, it's going to, the levels of that track being sent are going to be the just the original very low level. Is that correct?
It is. But what could you do about it? There are a number of things that could be done about that.
Normalize it?
Could, okay, but if it's a live input.
You, I guess this is a case where you adjust the send volume?
What yes. Do you call it? I would do it that way. I would definitely use the send volume.
Okay, so I can boost my track volume up to the point where I can hear the track, and then it's pre-everything, and then also boost the send volume as well.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely, no problem. But just know, with pre-everything like this, if I turn track one down, with it being pre-everything, so you'll kind of want them to sort of go down in tandem if you're trying to fade something like that out. So you'd want to grab both tracks and kind of fade them down like that. And you could do that through automation or, of course, as I, you know, just
put
it
in
manually. You could. Indeed, you could. You could put the send and the receive tracks in a folder and fade the folder down. Very nice. And honestly, guys, that's what I have for you today. I got through that quicker than I thought I would, to be honest. We've done parallel processing. We've shown the different ways to set up sends, to delete sends, the advantages to using them, the hardware outputs, how to set those up, advantages to using those if you need to. So I think we've covered everything in send and routing land that you would find important, that I certainly find important.
Awesome.
So you can send entire folders to, say, for example, other entire folders. Is that an acceptable process?
Yeah, you could. If you needed to, for whatever reason, you totally could. Absolutely. Again, I just want to reiterate, you guys are doing a phenomenal job just overall in this class, and it really is gratifying for me to see that. So keep it up. And see you Tuesday.